Gonzalez. Looks like the parties are ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. Jan Trayson appearing for Eddie Gonzalez. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes, please.
You may.
In Eddie Gonzalez's trial, multiple convictions for conduct during an identical charging period combined with the trial court's own instructional error. In combination, these errors failed to protect Mr. Gonzalez from a double jeopardy violation. Together, these errors require reversal of all counts. It's the trial court's duty, and this is undisputed, to properly instruct the jury. And yet in this case, this jury deliberated for an entire court day from 10:45 in the morning until the close of business at 4:15 without being properly instructed. This jury didn't receive a very important instruction that the defendant was charged with separate crimes and they must deliberate separately on separate counts. They deliberated until they were excused at 4:15. They went home. They interacted with the court. They asked several questions. They received answers to their questions, and nobody seemed to realize they weren't properly instructed. They came back the next day. The state approached and said, wow, we forgot to give them the separate crimes instruction.
Did you identify for the court, the trial court, some manner in which you would have approached the case differently, either in your cross-examination or closing remarks as a result of that particular instruction?
Well, you know, it's always said that the closing arguments are not evidence and the court will give the instruction. It's the court's duty to give proper instructions, and the instructions are the yardstick by which the jury is to reach their ultimate verdict as to a conviction or not a conviction.
Well, that's said of the two convict instruction. We're not talking of the two convict instruction right now.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. The Supreme Court held that even with the separate crimes instruction, that's really the bare minimum. And even with the separate crimes instruction, it's not necessarily adequate to protect against a double jeopardy violation. In Much and the preceding cases, there was a separate crimes instruction that was given at the proper time, unlike this case. And that wasn't adequate necessarily to protect against a double jeopardy violation.
You agree that the double jeopardy clause protects against multiple punishments for identical offenses or offenses that are both identical in both law and fact?
That is the double jeopardy clause, correct. Okay.
Yes. And did you identify in your brief why rape of a child and child molestation were the same crime in law and in fact?
I believe I did. In this case, the allegations were quite unspecific.
There were two charges, rape of a child and child molestation, and they were based on different incidents.
Yes.
And because you would agree that rape of a child and child molestation are not the same in law, in fact. Is that fair to say?
Well, in this...
Different elements?
They have different elements, yes. But in this case, this victim alleged conduct in the same charging period, which could have been applied to either count. There were assertions of conduct during the same charging period that overlapped, that could have been applied to either count. There was an acquittal on one of the rape counts.
That's a factual matter, but how are they identical in law?
There was an allegation of touching.
I'm asking about how they are identical in law. Why are the elements the same in both crimes?
There was an allegation of touching under the clothes, and that at least some of the molestation counts could have been applied to the rape of a child count in count one or to the molestation count. Does that answer your question?
Not really.
In this case, the omission of the separate crimes instruction was critical because the jury wasn't timely informed of the legal requirements. And since it's the court's duty to instruct the jury that they need to keep these counts separate when they deliberate. Getting the instruction 24 hours after they had already been deliberating was inadequate to cure this error.
Is it manifestly apparent when you look at the closing argument and the evidence together with the unanimity instruction, separate to convict instructions?
It was not manifestly apparent, and that's the standard that the Supreme Court said under Much. And when it's not manifestly apparent that the jury could keep them separate, there is the potential of a double jeopardy violation, and the appellate court needs to examine the record and apply a constitutional harmless error.
In closing argument, didn't the prosecutor clearly state that the basis for the child molestations was the touching and the basis for the child rape was the oral sex? And wasn't that made pretty clear to the jury in his closing remarks or her closing remarks?
The prosecutor did state that in closing argument, but without the proper instruction to guide the jury, then the jury is unable to deliberate properly.
So even if it's made manifestly apparent by the evidence and by the closing argument, your argument is the lack of the instruction.
The instructions are infirm.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Amy Meckling appearing on behalf of the state of Washington. I want to be clear that we're not mixing up two different issues here, because there's the issue of the instruction that was given to the jury that you're to consider and deliberate on each count separately. And then there's also the issue of the double jeopardy violation, and they're somewhat different. They overlap to some degree. With respect to the double jeopardy violation, I want to talk about that first. There's no requirement that a separate and distinct acts instruction be given between crimes that are not the same in law and fact. If they're not the same crime, there's no double jeopardy problem. You don't need to give the instruction. In this case, there was a separate and distinct acts instruction given as between the rape counts. There wasn't one given as between the rape counts and the single count of child molestation. There was no requirement that a separate and distinct acts instruction be given as between those two crimes. Rape of a child, child molestation are not the same crime. They're not the same crime in law. As Your Honor pointed out, they have different elements.
Well, I didn't point that out. I asked a question about that.
Correct. But you pointed out the issue.
And there is a case which holds that in the particular circumstances we have here,
correct,
even though they're not technically identical, they will be. They can be considered identical in certain factual circumstances.
Correct. But I want to actually talk about that, because I don't believe I highlighted this appropriately in my briefing, and I've looked at this case more thoroughly since then, and the situation in Land, which is the case you're talking about, is different than what we have here, and this is why. In Land, the court's decision was based on the fact that it was the way in which the jury was instructed that created the problem for a double jeopardy problem. Now, I don't agree with that legally, but let's talk about that. The court said, because the definition of sexual contact that includes sexual gratification that's required to be given in a child molestation count, because the jury could have taken that instruction and imported it into the definition of sexual intercourse, which talks about sexual contact, they could have thought that they were the same. Now, I don't agree with that for double jeopardy, because double jeopardy is a matter of legislative intent, not how the jury was instructed. But let's talk about that, because that situation with the way the jury was instructed did not happen here. If you look at CP, that's the definition of sexual contact that was given that includes the requirement that the touching be for the purposes of the defendant's sexual gratification. The jury was specifically instructed that definition only applied to child molestation. It didn't apply to the rape counts. It said for the purposes of count 3, which is the child molestation count, sexual contact means any touching, et cetera, for the purposes of sexual gratification. And then the prosecutor stood up in closing argument and said...
Do you know that was not the case in Land?
Yes.
The instruction did not say as to count...
I don't know that it's... quoted the instruction, but what the Land court specifically said was that it was the way in which the jury was instructed, that the jury could have taken that definition of sexual gratification, sexual contact, and used it for the purposes of the sexual intercourse instruction. That's not possible here because they were told that it only applied to the child molestation count. And the prosecutor told them further in closing argument that it only applied to the child molestation count. And that's consistent with the law. If you look at the cases that I sent up a supplement authority a couple of days ago, State versus Girola and State versus Brown, the statutory definition of sexual contact, which includes that requirement of sexual gratification, does not apply to rape of a child cases. And it's not error to not give it. And the reason for that is sort of obvious, because the legislature did not intend to criminalize inadvertent non-sexual touching of children. And so it requires the contact to be for the purposes of sexual gratification. There's no such concern.
Land took that into account, though.
Excuse me?
Land addressed that.
Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
There's no such concern about inadvertent rape of a child. You don't inadvertently rape a child. So that definition of sexual gratification does not apply to the rape of a child counts. Now, you asked about Land. I disagree with the decision in Land. As I asked you in my briefing, I think it's wrong. Double jeopardy depends on what the legislature intended, and we look to whether the crimes are the same. Land looks at whether the jury was instructed and whether they could consider the crimes to be the same, but it doesn't matter what the jury thinks, right? If the legislature intended that the crimes are separate, then it's okay for the jury to be instructed that way. So even if the jury could...
Though, then manifestly apparent would make no difference.
I'm sorry?
The whole concept of whether it's manifestly apparent to the jury the state's not seeking a conviction for two crimes out of one act would make no difference.
Well, that's when you...
Your analysis.
Well, that's when you do have a double jeopardy concern. The analysis in Much that Your Honor is talking about with whether it's manifestly apparent that the jury, the state was not seeking to prosecute the defendant for the same act, that applies when you actually have a double jeopardy concern. Like the Much case, I believe, was five counts of rape of a child. They were all identical counts in the same charging period.
So you can save the conviction if based on what was apparent to the jury, but you can't implicate double jeopardy in the first instance based on what's apparent to the jury.
Absolutely, because double jeopardy is implicated by whether the crimes are the same or if there's overriding evidence of contrary legislative intent. So you go through the analysis of double jeopardy to determine whether there's a double jeopardy concern. If there's no double jeopardy concern, it does not matter what the jury is told or whether they think that they're the same or not, right? Because the legislature authorized multiple punishments, so it would be okay. So I disagree with the holding in Land. I don't think that the court can say that there's a double jeopardy problem because the jury perceived something a certain way. So I would ask you to disagree with Land.
Right,
if you don't, it doesn't apply to this case because the jury was told that the sexual gratification, sexual contact instruction only applied to child molestation. I want to talk just very briefly about the fact that the jury was given the you must deliberate on the count separately a day late in the deliberations. It's a matter of the trial court's discretion to give additional instructions after deliberations have begun, so long as the instructions does not go to matters that could have been argued by the defense or that were altered perhaps the defendant's cross-examination strategy, something to that effect. Here you have the defense attorney saying on the record, I mean, this is a standard instruction. It's given in every single case where there are more than one count. And you have the defense attorney saying on the record, oh, I'm surprised to see that wasn't given as well when it was pointed out a day later. The defense attorney had no idea that it hadn't been given. So not knowing that it hadn't been given and assuming it had been given, it's hard to know how his strategy could have been altered. And moreover, the jury clearly did deliberate on each count separately. They acquitted the defendant of one of the rape of a child counts. So I don't think that that was an abuse of the court's discretion to give that count that instruction a day late. If you have any questions with respect to whether it was manifestly apparent to the jury that there's no double jeopardy problem here, I'm happy to answer them, but I don't think there's a double jeopardy concern at all in the first place. But I'll rely on my briefing in terms of if you do think that, why it was clear that the state was charging the rape of a child for the sexual intercourse counts and the child molestation for the fondling. Thank you.
Thank you.
Um, as to this court's holding in Land, in Land, this court stated there should have been an instruction informing the jury that each count had to be based on a separate and distinct act, but the absence of such an instruction did not violate Land's right to be free of double jeopardy. So this court held there should have been the instruction, and likewise here. In Land, they were confronting a similar situation where there was a rape count and a molestation count.
Does it matter? You know, I haven't looked at the record that was identified as the CP-103, but does it matter if, in fact, the instruction says, with relation to count three, the child molestation charge, this instruction applies? Does that remedy any possible double jeopardy issues?
You know, I don't think it does. The problem is that here, and I understand the respondent disagrees, that's why we're here. In counts, in instruction one and two, which are the two rape of a child counts, the two convicts for one and two each have that language saying the jury can only consider evidence, quote, on an occasion separate and distinct from each other, mm-hmm. right? You know, you can only consider separate and distinct from the other rape of a child count. On instruction, the two convict for a child molestation, number three, it doesn't include that on an occasion separate and distinct. It doesn't have that language. And that's, you know, it's our argument that's extremely problematic. And I will leave that. That is, I think the analysis of Land is important, and I think it's actually in our favor. I don't have too much time. I want to move on to I don't think we can speculate too much on the reasons for the jury's acquittal of count two. I don't think we ever should speculate as to that. Is it because they found the complainant shaky on credibility? Did they try to split the difference? You know, is it some kind of nullification? I mean, we could speculate in either direction. I don't think it tells us too much. It doesn't assure us, though, that they deliberated, that they kept the crimes separate. Likewise, it doesn't assure us that they kept the rape allegation separate from the molestation allegation.
No, obviously
allegation.
The verdict on one charge didn't control their verdict on another, right?
Right.
And that's pretty clear.
Right. So I don't think it tells us anything one way or the other. If the court doesn't have any other questions, we'll ask the court to reverse and remand for a new trial based on the instructional error in the alternative to reverse count three due to the double jeopardy error and to grant the other relief we requested in the briefing.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.